Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. And now we take a moment to remember musical theater titan Stephen Sondheim, who died this past Friday at 91 at his home in Roxbury, Connecticut.
Someone to crowd you with love. Someone to force you to care. Someone to make you come through. Will always be there, as frightened as you of being alive. Being alive. Being alive.
That's Raul Esparza singing there. Sondheim was a renowned composer and lyricist whose catalog includes the Tony-winning musicals Company, Sweeney Todd, West Side Story, and Into the Woods, to name just a few. In his lifetime, he also received a Pulitzer Prize for his show Sunday in the Park with George and a Tony Lifetime Achievement Award. As the driving force behind the late 20th century musical theater, Sondheim's work remains a cornerstone of Broadway today, with revivals of his musicals Assassin and Company currently showing in New York, and a film adaptation of West Side Story premiering this December. His music inspired and affected so many lives, including some of our listeners who shared with us some of their favorite Sondheim songs. John Mahabut and JW both requested Ruthie Henshaw's moving rendition of Send in the Clouds.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Send in the clowns.
Louisa Ann requested the witty, fast-paced Your Fault that she feels encapsulates human nature so well.
It's because of you there's a giant in our midst and my wife is dead.
But it isn't my fault. I was given those beans. You persuaded me to trade away my cow for beans. And without those beans, there'd have been no stalk to get up to the giants in the first place.
Wait a minute, magic beans for a cow so old that you had to tell a lie to sell it, which you told. Were they worthless beans? Were they oversold? Oh, and tell us who persuaded you to steal that gold.
See, it's your fault.
No.
So it's your fault.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
It's true.
Wait a minute, but I only stole the gold to get my cow back from you.
So it's your fault.
Yes.
No, it isn't. I'd have kept those beans, but our house was cursed. She made us get a cow to get the curse reversed.
It's your father's fault that the curse got placed and the place got cursed in the first place.
Oh, then it's his fault.
It was his fault.
No. Yes, it is. It's his.
I guess.
Wait a minute, though. I chopped up the beanstalk, right? That's clear. But without any beanstalk, then what's queer is how.
So, listeners, we want to hear from you. What is your favorite Sondheim show, song, or moment? How did his music affect your life? Give us a call, 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC, as we remember and celebrate the life of Stephen Sondheim. You can also reach out to us on social media at All of It WNYC. That's for Twitter and Instagram. Joining me now is Chief Theater Critic at the New York Times, Jesse Green. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Allison.
So if anybody was even near social media this weekend, there was just this outpouring. It went from like grief to appreciation. What themes emerged for you from these outpouring of tributes to Sondheim?
Well, one of them was just how enormously he had affected our world. One of my editors said, you know, in our department, the culture department, it's like the death of a pope or a president. And people responded with that kind of size. I think a lot of it, of course, was for the brilliance of his work. A lesser known aspect of the love for Sondheim has to do with his championing of other people's work and of young people's work and, you know, encouraging, as in my case, through letters, even before I was in college, that I might consider a career in theater. And for many people, actually helping them get their first jobs.
Okay, letters, explain, please.
Well, he was well known to respond to almost anybody's letters. So if you had a question, if you had a hope, if you wanted to see a piece of music, you know, a manuscript that you couldn't find, you could write to him and he would send it to you, or he would tell you what he thought, or he would invite you to talk more about what you wanted to do in your career. In my case, it happened because my father wrote to him and asked him to sign a program for me. And that began a relationship with him of various types that lasted until this year.
So I feel like I have to ask you, how were you feeling when you heard the news?
Well, I'm not processing it very well. I think I'm listening to a lot of music, of course, but, you know, as a journalist, my first response was to have, I was at a second day of Thanksgiving party and I had to jump in a car and, you know, drive 40 miles to my computer and start writing, which is a useful way of not dealing with things that he might well appreciate since he was much more emotional and in control of his feelings in his work than he often seemed to be in his actual life.
The loss was so huge for the theater community that yesterday there was this gigantic tribute that happened in Broadway, right at Times Square, Sondheim tribute. Performers gathered to sing On an Ordinary Sunday from the musical Sunday in the Park with George. Let's hear a little bit from this weekend. It was Jesse. It was a who's who. It was there, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Laura Benanti. I mean, everybody who is anybody on Broadway showed up. What do you think about the choice of that song?
I think it was very apt. It's a very moving song in itself and in the context of the show, coming at the end of the first act when the painter Georges Seurat completes his masterpiece. But I think people feel especially strongly about it as a representation of their grief and their feelings about Sondheim because he was, perhaps uniquely, a cultural figure who could still command the attention of millions of people around the world. We're used to that in pop music, perhaps, and in film acting, perhaps. But in the theater, he was perhaps the last of the greats. It's unclear whether anyone could ever reach so many audiences again with such a high level of craft and feeling.
My guest is Jesse Green, chief theater critic for the New York Times. We were remembering Stephen Sondheim. You are my guests as well. Let's take a few calls. Let's talk to Joe on line one, calling in from Bronxville. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling All of It.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling in. I'd love you to share your remembrance.
I will. About 50 years ago, I'm about the same age as Sondheim at his death. I had the good fortune of sitting next to him in the auditorium at Sarah Lawrence College, where the music department was putting on a panel discussion about a little night music. And someone asked the wonderful question, how did he come to write Send in the Clown, Clowns? And he gave this wonderful, articulate, and thoughtful answer to a question I'm sure he heard 1,000 times. Mm. And I was so impressed by him in terms of responding and how clear he was about what motivated his writing the song. And I've always remembered that. So when you just played part of Sending the Clowns before, it brought back that mm-hmm. memory once again to me of sitting next to the great Sondheim. And a memory I'll remember for a long time.
Joe, thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to line three. Greg calling in from Woodside, Queens. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hello. I don't have a personal experience with Sondheim, but I just wanted to say my absolute favorite lyric passage that he wrote, or possibly anyone did, was from a song called Uptown Downtown, which was cut from the original production of Follies. And the line in this is a song about a person who sort of has a dual life, both in glitz and in the slums. The line goes, she sits at the Ritz with her Swiss mums, but starts to pine for a sign with her village chums. But with a Schlitz in her midst down at Fitzroy's pub, she thinks of the Ritz, oh, it's so schizo. Just fantastic.
Greg, thank you so much. I love that Greg came prepared, Jesse. He wasn't just going to talk about the lyric he liked. He made sure we heard it. You know, what about Sondheim's work differed from all the others? What was unique about it?
Well, it's fairly unique that he was a composer as skilled as he was a lyricist. There aren't that many in the history of the American musical theater who did both, let alone at his level. Frank Lesser, perhaps. But the real distinction is that he used those twinned gifts to create drama. He was not just creating good songs. He was within each song, he told a story. In Send in the Clowns, it may not be evident because it was his only pop hit. But if you know it in the show, there's an amazing story happening in the course of the song. It's not just somebody happily or sadly remembering a lost love. It's a song about great anger. So he found ways of using song forms and creating beautiful songs, but nevertheless also told stories that he then sort of grouped into chains of songs that created the drama of the shows he worked on.
Jack tweeted to us, in elementary school in deep Brooklyn, I think fifth grade or so, we all sang Comedy Tonight from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum for a school performance. Great song for a group of kids to sing. Let's talk to Daniel on line 6 calling in from Park Slope. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, Allison. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I do agree with Jesse that just as a composer and a lyricist, it's so rare to have someone so revered in both those areas. I just wanted to share that my connection with Sondheim is really through my dad. We used to listen to Company on family road trips. And, you know, always had that Bobby, the answering, the sort of busy signal. And Bobby was someone who was kind of never, you know, always at home in a crowd, but never wanted to quite settle down. And my dad, I think, would talk to me a lot about that paradox of loving someone and how sometimes giving yourself over to one person can feel so limiting, but in fact is kind of so freeing. So someone to hold me too close, you know, someone to touch me too deep. And those paradoxes, and I think that's what we're all calling about, mm-hmm. that complexity of loving and being loved and loving one person and loving everyone, being afraid of life, embracing life. I don't think anyone captured that like Sondheim. So I always think of my dad. He died in 2017, and I sang Being Alive for him at his 70th birthday a few years before that.
You're making me cry. Thank you for calling in. Let's talk to Jane on line 1. Hi, Jane. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, Allison. There's such wonderful things are being said about Sondheim. We could go on all day. But my connection is with my uncle, Erwin Shainman, who was Stephen's music professor at Williams College. And I get such a kick out of it because maybe 15 years ago, my husband and I went to hear Erwin lecture about Stephen at a University of Connecticut, I think, or maybe the library there. Anyway, we just got so turned on to Stephen through my uncle's lecture that it was just such a strong connection. And I just have a sense that my uncle's impressions on Stephen may have inspired some music tones in him.
Jane, thank you for calling in. Jesse Green is the chief theater critic for the New York Times. We are remembering Stephen Sondheim. So it's two Sondheim shows, Company and Assassins, currently running in New York. We've got West Side Story, the film adaptation coming out shortly. I think there's a Merrily We Roll Along in the works as well. Why do you think these shows endure in the way they do?
Well, there's a couple reasons. At least during his lifetime, he was the most open of all the great composers that I can think of to rethinking his work and allowing other artists, assuming that he liked their work, to suggest new ways of doing them. This production of Company that's opening on Broadway in a week and is in previews now, as you mentioned, is one that makes an incredibly radical change in the show, which is that the main character is not male anymore, but female. And the director, you know, raised this idea with Sondheim, expecting to hear absolutely not, and got absolutely yes. And and that show, one of your callers mentioned the busy signal at the beginning of the show. Well, no one today even knows what a busy signal is. So that's not there anymore, but cell phones are there. So he was remarkably open and wanted his work to be heard anew. Beyond that, the psychological truth, I mean, you could say he was the great introducer of full and deep psychology to American musical theater characters, building on the traditions of his mentor, Oscar Hammerstein, but really taking to a new level the ways in which human beings behave in musicals and the way in which we in the audience were able to see ourselves and, for many of us, learn how to be human by watching the ways these people tried and failed and succeeded.
To all of our callers who called in, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. And to you, Jesse Green, thank you for making time today. Jesse Green is the chief theater critic of the New York Times.
Thank you, Allison.
We want to end with a Sondheim song from three greats in their own right. Here's Meryl Streep, Audra McDonald, and Christine Baranski singing Ladies Who Lunch from Company.
So here's to the girls on the go. Everybody tries.
Look into their eyes and you'll see what they know. Everybody dies.
The toast to that invincible bunch.
The dinosaurs surviving the crunch.
Let's hear it for the ladies who lunch. Everybody runs.